We are going to get to Daniel, but not tonight, okay? So we're going to look at something a little different. But we will get back to Daniel, but I just felt led to do something a little different tonight. But we've been working our way through Daniel, and we saw that God is sovereign. He rules and reigns over all the affairs of men in Daniel chapter 1. If you remember that, regardless of where you are, regardless in whatever land you might be, that we still serve God, and Daniel was committed to that and his friends. And then if you remember Daniel chapter 2, the statue, and that God is the greatest of all the empires, and he will rule and reign, and he is sovereign over all the kingdoms. And Nebuchadnezzar had to learn that. And then we saw in Daniel chapter 3 that he has all the power to save us even from the fiery furnace when Nebuchadnezzar asked what God is there. And then we'll get to Daniel chapter 4 that that Nebuchadnezzar is humbled in his pride as he looked out over great Babylon. So we're going to get there. But as this week has unfolded just with a lot of events and interactions, I think the winter is wearing on everyone. At least that's, but I want to tell you, I know for a fact, I saw the first sign of spring on the way here tonight. Okay. I pulled out of the driveway, went down the road, and our neighbor, one of our neighbor's boys, I don't know how, maybe 4 or 5, he had on his snowsuit outside swinging on the swing set. Okay. So it's like, okay, that's a boy that's ready for swing, for spring. Okay. So that's better than a robin or anything. That's a sign that spring's around the corner. But, you know, I think we're all facing a lot of bumps and bruises and aches and pains and deaths and just a long winter. And so, my intent tonight is I just want us to encourage one another. Okay. We're going to look at a psalm, but I just want us to encourage one another. We need to draw close to the Lord, draw close to one another. And so that's where I decided that the Lord would have us tonight. So if you want to turn to Psalm 46, we want to look at a little bit of Psalm 46 tonight. Psalm 46, we're just going to look at it, at least in some parts. It's not going to be a whole lesson or a whole message on this, but as winter kind of lingers on, and with all the sickness and injury and the flu bug hit our house this week, but hopefully it won't spread through the whole household. But when those sounds from the bathroom start coming, you know, it doesn't make anybody very happy. And the kids were joking today. They said, "Oh, Dad, did you get the Lysol out and start going around that?" So I'm famous for that. Actually, it was Becky. She got out the Lysol for me, and we were tag team. And so we go through and try to disinfect everything. But Psalm 46 was written as a psalm intended to give hope and trust in God, that God's people would trust him in his power, in his providence, that he oversees things, and his gracious presence. And so we want to wrestle with this. It was said that this was a psalm that Martin Luther, the reformer Martin Luther, whenever somebody would come to him, I haven't been able to verify if this is true, and of course I didn't live that far back then, but supposedly when somebody would come to him with real negative news, he would say, let's join together and sing Psalm 46. And so it was a psalm that kind of lifted his heart, and in the midst of just the negative of life, he would say, let's sing together. And so this was a special psalm for Martin Luther that just encouraged him. So I want to go ahead and read it, and then we'll go back and just make a few observations. And then I want to do something else together. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Just one comment as we get in there. The whole thing is Selah. Theologians disagree exactly what that means. We don't actually know. It's something we haven't been able, there's different opinions. Probably the best is it was just a notation of a pause or reflection. So as you were singing the song, sometimes you just go from one verse to the next, and it was intended to be an interlude or a pause. It was intended to just reflect a little bit on what's said. So that's my best opinion, and I think that's probably what we can't say with absolute certainty. Well, I just want to look at a few of the verses and make some observations. And first of all, in verses 1 through 5, the psalmist writes this, and he intends that we take comfort even when things look dark and threatening. God wants us to take comfort even when the darkest, most unimaginable things can happen. Even things that like, man, that could never happen. Or I can't believe it's happening. And so he wants us to take refuge. And he starts out, as many of the Psalms do, with making an assertion, a truth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And that's kind of really where we start and where we need to rest, that God is our refuge and strength. And I think the psalmist here, it's written by the sons of Korah. They were, of course, a family, and they worked in the choir. And so they collectively, but it's written in such a way that it seems by experience, they had experienced time and again that the Lord had been the one to whom they could go. They'd found that God is the person, the place to find refuge, where to go and where to find security. Psalm 18, verse 10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." And that's not a cowardly statement. You know, when things get tough, when you're in a battle, and it's using that imagery here. And so the Lord's like this tower of refuge. And so when you're in need and when life seems to be threatening, a wise person runs to the place of safety and security. And so in Psalm 18, the Lord is depicted as that strong tower. And so, you know, as this winter's maybe went on and you might be tired, you might be discouraged, might even be a little depressed or oppressed. You feel like things are just pressing on you. The psalmist just reminds us that, look, there is a place, there is a person to go to. God is our refuge. He is our strength. And he's there and ready, a very present need, a very present help in our time of trouble. Isaiah 28:16 says, "So this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. The one who trusts in him will never be dismayed." And I think that cornerstone ultimately is referring to Jesus Christ. And so our confidence, our hope, our trust, our rest is in Jesus Christ. Christ is the cornerstone. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 16 it talks about Christ as our high priest. And since we have a high priest who's been there, done that, he's identifies with us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our feebleness, that we can go to him in our time of trouble and find grace and mercy that we need. And so I just want to encourage you with that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help. And so as a conclusion of that, he says, verse 2, "Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride." The most unimaginable things, that all of a sudden the mountains are just, he's using some hyperbole here. Though the most extreme things could happen, we will still not be moved because God is our strength. And so, just I want to encourage you with that. And then, He says an interesting thing, which I had to ponder some to understand. There is a river, verse 4, whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High God. And I think he's, again, Psalms are poetry, and so they use some imagery, some colorful language. But I think this probably, in the psalmist, as the sons of Korah wrote it, I think there's an allusion to the waters of Siloam, that Hezekiah I didn't jot down the chapter, when he had a Hezekiah's tunnel built for security, he built a tunnel to bring water inside the city of Jerusalem, which eventually spilled into the pool of Siloam. And so I think here that would strengthen the defenses of Jerusalem. Okay, so if they were laid a siege on, they still had water inside the city's walls. And so I think he uses that imagery that, like we have water that flows into the city, that provides, in the same way, God flows to us to minister to us. And so I think here he's using this physical imagery to talk about a spiritual reality. Okay, like the pools, like the waters that come into Siloam, so too God brings in. And Jesus picked up on this in John chapter 7, verse 38. He asked, "Anyone who is thirsty, let him come to me." And John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39. There may be some allusion to ultimately the river that flows in the new city, in the new Jerusalem. But understanding where the psalmist would be writing from, I think he was using these pools as an expression that God would flow and minister to his people, bringing grace and mercy in their time of needs, even in the cloudiest and darkest days, even when we seem like we're besieged on the outside. God flows to minister to us. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. And so it's written to try to encourage God's people that even when the winter seems like it drags on, even when there's physical things that go on, even when I'm there, and I'm there in the darkest times to bring comfort and encouragement. And then in verses 6 through about 9, he moves to encourage the people to praise. And he does it in a very subtle way. But he says, "The nations, they made an uproar and the kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of our Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two." I think what the psalmist was intending to is he looks out beyond the city walls and he begins to see how God's worked in the nations, and he intends for people to praise God for the great things that he's done. You know, I think it would be good for us to maybe take just a few minutes and just to really think about what we can praise God for, and maybe just share that with one another. So I want to encourage you to think about that, and we can share. I think it's important that we just stop and we say, okay, you know, I can praise God. In fact, when I heard about Bob, you normally sit over there. When I heard about Bob falling this week, in light of I praise God sincerely that you're still here, Bob. When we all heard that Elmer, you know, we know that can happen. I went back, I flashed back to years ago when I was middle school, and I don't know if you remember the Paul boy that fell off the back of a car when they were just horsing around over here off of around the corner of 700, not very far from here. But, you know, he was 17 or something like that. We know those things can happen, but we don't think they will, right? And then suddenly they do. And so when I heard Bob fell and was okay, I did. I literally praise God. I just give thanks that he's here. Now, why is Bob here and Elmer's not? That comes under a sovereign God. Okay? I don't have an answer for that. But I give thanks that we have a few more days together, how many ever. And so we praise God. We praise God. And so every day we look out into the world. I praise God. I praise God that I have not had to go through, you know, I've alluded and I said about ISIS and some of those things. And when those things have unfolded, I went back to the pastors that I ministered to in Uganda and Kenya. And I remember them telling some of the stories because some of them had gone through things like that. I remember the one telling about his father being drug off and he saw people in front of him just killed like chickens. That's the way he described it, but just killed like animals. Why they have to go through that and I don't know. But I just give thanks that God in his grace has spared me. So maybe let's take a few moments. What can you just look out into the world, look out into life, and you just give thanks? You praise God. He doesn't owe it to us. Anything we have is because of his grace, right? It's not like we've earned it. Eliphaz, okay, I do good, then I, you know, no, that's not the way life works. So it's all God's grace. But maybe, what are some things we can just share together? You can say, I just praise God for this. Roscoe, you've got something to praise God for. I looked out and, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. 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 Sure. Yeah. Yeah. No. We have a lot to be thankful for. Yeah. Good. Good. And I thank God that you're still here as I prepared the message. And I thought, you know, when I say things about cancer or whatever, I don't say that flippantly. And I wasn't here when you went through that. And so I thank God that you're still here. So, yeah. Yeah. Amen. Good, good. Thank you. Somebody else. What can you just praise God for? You look out, you give thanks, you praise him. Jim?
I just pray to God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Lord, I'll never know because that's a protection for me.
Okay. Amen. 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 Into the image of his son. Good. I thank God for Romans 8:29 that he doesn't quit working on us, right? You know, we sing that little ditty, he's still working on me, you know. It's like, well, there's a lot of truth to that, okay? So he's still working on us. So thank him that he loves us enough to not keep us the way he found us, right? Good. Somebody else, what can you just praise the Lord for? Just look out. Mary, did you have something? Hmm. Yeah, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. 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 Amen. Amen. Good, good. Good. Great. Somebody else. What can you just praise the Lord for? Go. Well, praise the Lord. I appreciate your prayers. Good. Mike? Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, we've enjoyed a lot of blessings. They're not necessarily guaranteed. And God has a plan, has a purpose. And our kingdom is not of this world. Jesus talked about that. And so we need to keep remembering that this is not our home, right? This is not where we're putting down roots. We're just passing through, as the old spiritual says, okay? So we thank God for his grace and his mercy, but we keep our eyes fixed on heaven. Years ago, I preached through 1 Peter, and one of the things that's get about in chapter 4, it talks about Abraham. And one of the things that, it's very subtle in there, but Abraham, you know, he was looking for a city not made with hands, Hebrews tells us. But Abraham lived his life always, not always, he failed like we did at times too, but he was always looking towards a heavenly horizon. And I know I struggle with that. Sometimes I get looking short-sighted. And our home is in another place, in another time. And so we need to be careful we don't get too fixated on the things of this world. So good. Let me just look at the last few verses together. And then what I would like for us to do is we're going to take some time to break up together and to pray with one another, to encourage one another. And so as the psalmist closes out the song in verses 10 and 11, he wants us to be assured that God is, as God is glorified in the past, he will be glorified again. Okay? So regardless of kind of where you are and what's going on, you know, God has been glorified in the past. And he will be glorified again. Okay? Look with me at verse 10. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. I will be exalted. And I think sometimes at least I can speak for myself, and I can speak to the general patterns of life. You know, at times things get pressing in on us, and all the troubles and just different things that drag us down, whether it's health, whether it's relationships, and we can just get in dark places and dark moments, and we just feel like things aren't working out, and we begin to strive and to worry and to work hard. And at least, you know, that's it's something I've had to learn as a pastor. I used to think, you know, growing up is like, well, if you just work harder, you know, things will, you'll get more done. Well, in a spiritual work, it doesn't always work that way, right? You just have to wait on the Lord, right? And cease striving and just let God work. So as he's been exalted in the past, he will be exalted in the future. And God's going to make sure of that. And so what he wants from his people is to, you know, for us to quit wringing our hands and to be at peace. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. And so it's kind of back to where he started. The Lord is our refuge. He is our stronghold. And so he's with us. And so I want to end on that note where the psalm ended. God is with us. Okay. Do you believe God's here tonight? You believe that? Because he said that where two or three, doesn't have to be everybody, but where two or three are gathered in unity. I know the context of that passage is a church is working through things, but he says, I'm there. I'm there. And so the Lord promised that he would be with us until the end of the age. And so he wants us to fix our eyes on him. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, and then we will read these verses, and then I'd like us to break up and to just spend some time encouraging one another in prayer. Hebrews chapter 4. And the context of Hebrews chapter 4 is the high priest that we have in Jesus Christ, and that believers should find rest in this high priest, that we can come to him, and Jesus is there, living, making intercession for us in verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I know they're not new verses, but verses that I think I just want to encourage us all in, okay? That we have Jesus who's standing there at the Father's right hand. Now you might debate, is he seated? Is he standing? At least Stephen saw him standing. Okay, he's seated in that his work is done, but he stood to receive Stephen. And so I want us to just draw close and to just cast our cares upon him, Peter says, to come to him with confidence that we may find grace and mercy in our time of need. And so whatever you need tonight, I just want to encourage us to go to the Lord and encourage one another in prayer. So what I'd like to do is we're just going to go ahead and break up in prayer. And what I'd like you to do is to get with somebody other than your spouse, okay, if I can impose that on you. Just get with somebody maybe in groups of two or at the most three, and just break up and just encourage one another in prayer. And whatever's on your heart, if there's something that you just need to throw to God and give it to him. If there's something that you know that somebody else, hey, I know they've been struggling with this and I just want to lift them up on behalf of their need. And so we're going to take about the next 15 minutes or so in prayer. And then towards the end of that, I'll just kind of close this together. We'll come back together. So let's just kind of break up. You can scatter all over and just find somebody too at the